Defeating a coronavirus pandemic, accelerating economic recovery, implementing economic reforms to head towards sustainable growth and inclusive growth, and fighting corruption and strengthening the state. These are the four priorities that President Ramaphosa outlined yesterday at the State of the Nation address. He didn't necessarily go into a great deal of detail, but he did speak on a number of points attributable to each. And so I would like to have this conversation now, very much looking forward to it, with Anne Bernstein on which of those happens to be attainable and to the extent to which we actually can have optimism about the State of the Nation address that we heard just yesterday. Anne is the head of the Center for Development and Enterprise, or the CDE. Good morning, Anne. Welcome back to the show.
Hi, Rafael Ware. Thank you.
Hi. All right. Let's take a look at each of these four key priorities that the President has whittled down. And in a positive note, important that we are actually prioritizing priorities as opposed to having a laundry list of nine like we did the previous year. What would you say is your overall sense of how the President tabled what the most important areas are for 2021?
Look, I don't think anyone can disagree with his four top priorities. My concern is that I wasn't very impressed with a lot of what was said. I think this was the wrong speech for the time. South Africa is in desperate crisis. On every front, we have escalating crises, and I don't think that what's being done is responding to these in any adequate way. So I didn't see a kind of new approach or a vision, and I don't agree with a lot of what was said is actually happening. I don't think it is happening.
All right, let's be specific then. So when we look at, let's say, defeating coronavirus, the President was at pains to emphasize, I think, things that most of the country probably knew from the Minister of Health about the 80,000 Johnson & Johnson doses that will be coming through, the 12 million commitment from COVAX and the 9 million, a bigger commitment from Johnson & Johnson, as well as the 20 million Pfizer commitment. But to your point about urgency, not a lot about the actual logistics of rollout and the key fears that many South Africans have about implementation.
Look, there are two things. The one is we've had a spectacular failure of governance in terms of acquiring the vaccine, and we're now rushing around trying to get it. So it looks like by the end of March we'll have 580,000 Johnson & Johnson doses, which is nothing. We need to vaccinate 67% of the population, about 40 million people, and we need to do that as quickly as possible. And we keep being given vague promises of we're getting this amount and 9 million here and whatever, but there are no dates. And it's always very vague, around the end of the first quarter, around the end of the second quarter. So I don't think we learned anything new, really, and I'm very concerned about vaccine acquisition. And then, of course, the key issue is the rollout, where we didn't really get any information at all.
Correct. And of course, even when one, even the language that's used, and I speak about this quite a lot, the language that's used with respect to securing, or Pfizer has committed, as opposed to procurement, clarity around procurement and the processes around that. Let's talk a little bit about procurement, because obviously corruption is the fourth of the four priorities, fighting corruption and strengthening the state. A number of areas that the President mentioned, an anti-corruption panel or a council, as well as his what seemed to be an admission of the failure of CADA deployment, in saying that we need professionals in municipalities, and this, I suppose, speaks to the quote-unquote capable state he tried to speak to in last year's SONA. What are your thoughts on what he had to say about corruption?
Look, I think there are two issues. We have a very weak state, which has been riddled with corruption. The President made some strong remarks about officials at local level. It wasn't clear. Officials, politicians at local level, they keep messing up, he said. I agree with him. But why doesn't he talk about the people who keep messing up at the national level? When will we ever see a cabinet minister fired for lack of performance or lack of delivery? Take e-visas. We were promised this in 2019, a world-class system. Here we are, and we're told last night that sometime we're going to get in this year e-visas for some 14 countries. Who's at fault? And why does nobody ever take accountability? So I think a big issue concerns the cabinet and the quality of performance in the cabinet, and at which point does the constitutional imperative for accountability of cabinet ministers actually become operational? When does the president fire some cabinet ministers?
So he does speak to this in his speech. He speaks about signing off the ministerial performance agreements with all the ministers, but I think many of us, and to, just to your point, if that performance is in performance measure is in place, the manager, and in other words, the president is the person at fault, it falls back at his door. There's a very clear gap in the unfortunate passing of Minister Jackson Tembo, and we haven't seen any response or him using that opportunity, for example, for a potential reshuffle. And so I'd be curious to know, I mean, where he suggests that enhanced accountability should come through, should this not go right back to the union buildings?
Well, that's what I would be arguing. But, Rafilwe, maybe we can talk about some of the fundamental issues. So last year in October, the government's recovery plan was put on the table, and he tried to respond to some of the, tell us some progress, but I don't buy that. He told us there's massive infrastructure development taking place, but that's contrary to all the evidence. If you talk to anybody, the infrastructure program, which is at the heart of his recovery program, is gridlocked. They haven't introduced the reforms to the public-private partnership regulations or the Public Finance Management Act, which were not mentioned last night, which are essential to bring the private sector in to help deal with infrastructure. The state doesn't have money to deal with infrastructure, and we're seeing a continued decline in infrastructure spending across the public sector. So that's one issue. The second issue is the president talked a lot about the ease of doing business and how focused he was on that and gave a few examples. But his own plan and his commitment to localization will dramatically increase the requirements in infrastructure and every other sector of the economy to prove that they're using local firms. So we are increasing the costs of doing business, and there will be, you don't create local capacity by the stroke of a pen. We need to be a competitive economy, and to have local firms that are globally competitive takes time and a different kind of business environment. And the commitment to localization and how we procure for infrastructure and everything else is going to hamper economic growth. And so we sit with this fundamental contradiction at the moment, which is holding things back dramatically.
So all in all, a skeptical perspective, I suppose, on yesterday's State of the Nation there, Anne.
I think it was the wrong speech for the time. We're in desperate trouble. We needed to open the economy to the private sector. There was nothing for the mining sector, which, you know, we're now, we have less than 1% of mining exploration in the world. And the Minerals Council is saying we need fundamental changes in order to unleash hundreds of millions of rands of investment. Nothing for them. We're told that we're finally going to get the critical skills list, which they've been talking about for ages, within a week. Why do we need a list of critical skills? We're at country desperately short of skills. We should just open the doors to skilled foreigners who will help build new firms and create new jobs in our society, instead of which we're going to have a lengthy debate about which skills should be on this list. It's crazy.
All right. Thank you very much. Anne Bernstein, head of the Center for Development and Enterprise. Just to be clear, infrastructure was covered in yesterday's speech, the 100 billion rand infrastructure fund. I think what I will cover in our in the FQ site, of course, is this increasing move towards away from a fiscus that is managed by the Treasury towards ring-fenced project finance-driven economy and the risks that I foresee in that regard. 20 past 7 at this particular point. It's time for your traffic with Zane Johnson. EWN.